Matthew 1, 22 and 23 is our touchstone. Matthew says this, all of this took place, the Christmas stories, to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this first Sunday of Advent. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house and just to begin to celebrate this Christmas season with Jesus as the reason for the season. Lord, as we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear. Everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit, we give you thanks and praise in the name of the one born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, saying, Amen. So this morning, this Sunday, begins what is historically called the season of Advent. Now, I know some of you came from a background where this may not have been observed or talked about much, but if you're from a more traditional Christian background, Advent is the Latin word. It means coming, right? It's the four Sundays before Christmas where we intentionally prepare our hearts and our lives to receive Jesus anew. We like to decorate the church festively. Thank you for all who helped with that last Sunday after church. And we like to light the traditional Advent wreath and focus on these four topics in some sense. And I'll seek to sort of incorporate these in the Advent sermons, today being hope, peace, joy, and then love. So after thinking about it, I thought, well, let me try and incorporate these a little bit in each of the messages as we enter the Christmas season. So focusing the idea behind the message for today is the experience of hope, or what do you hope in, or more importantly, who do you place your hope in the few days that God has given you? And these days are short, are they not? Older folk will tell you that. Now, the world will want to keep everything during the holiday season sort of light and fun, right? But here's the thing. As Christians, we know that before we get to the hopeful good news, we have to address the elephant in the room, the bad news of our actual sinful condition without God. That's why Jesus came. And so recently I was reminded of this really sort of basic spiritual truth through the preaching of a Catholic bishop who, if I didn't know he was a Catholic bishop, it'd be very clear that he is an evangelical at heart, Bishop Robert Barron, and he said this, I was reminded of this. He said, the bottom line is our biggest need is for a savior. We don't need a philosopher, a wise man, or some sort of guru. The Bible says clearly that we need to be rescued and redeemed, not some new philosophy, not another self-help book from the New York Times bestsellers list. Just those things are all over the place. We need to be rescued and redeemed. We have to know something and feel something of our lostness, our helplessness, to really understand the hope that we have in Jesus. Now, it gets us to this word called redemption, or to be redeemed. It's a Latin word. The Latin word really means to buy back. So in Jesus' day, this is how you got back someone that you loved who had been kidnapped. This word redeemed is actually a pretty serious word. So a ransom had to be paid for you to, or your loved one to be redeemed. Here's the thing, in the ancient days, in Jesus' day, if you didn't buy someone back, that person would be imprisoned, sold into slavery, or outright assaulted and killed. That's how it worked. Redemption is buying back people. And assaulting, that kind of thing, that seems to happen a lot during the Christmas season. Kind of like the time, Billy. Guy was shopping in town with his wife on Christmas Eve. They got separated, so she called him on the phone and said, "Where are you?" And the guy said, "Do you remember that little jewelry store we went to last year where you saw that diamond bracelet that you love, but I didn't have enough money to buy it?" "Yes, yes, I remember," she said with eager excitement, to which the man said, "Well, I'm next door in the bar having a beer." And that's how, instead of getting a diamond bracelet, she got an assault charge and he got assaulted during that Christmas. Merry Christmas. if you look back throughout the Old Testament, you'll find time and time again, God's people were in captivity in one way or another, often because they were unfaithful, often because they sinned against the Lord. And if there is a consistent message with the Old Testament prophets, it was this: repent from your sins, be just and offer loving kindness. If you do these, you will be blessed and free. But if you do not repent from your sins, if you remain unjust and unkind to others, you'll go into captivity. You will not be free again until I redeem you, says God. Right? That's why O Come, O Come, Emmanuel is arguably the first and most important Christmas hymn to be sung during the Advent season, really. O come, Emmanuel, and what? Ransom captive Israel that lies in lowly exile here until the Son of God appeared. That's a great way of putting the Christmas message, or the gospel message for that matter. Israel could not save itself. Likewise, you and I can't save ourselves. We are prisoners and captives who watch and wait for a Savior. Bottom line is, we need a Savior. But we live in a culture that has set itself up against this idea that we are captives, right? We're something else who need a Savior. It asserts self over biblical truth, right? Our culture offers self-esteem and self-assertion against the Christian message that we need a Savior, right? If you go to the bookstore, there's a few of those still around today, and you will discover a number of self-help books available today, or the endless cultural sloganeering about being yourself, or being brave, or being in control. You know, just be yourself. I know a lot of people I wish they weren't, because that's not their truest self. They think that's them, but it's really a mask. It's a charade. It's not really who they are deep down. You see, sin has put us in a bind that we can't get out of. Instead of living our lives in love and freedom as the sons and daughters of God, fallen human beings find themselves living in separation and hatred. This is just the reality. Now, I like what St. Augustine had to say. He said, what's really happening is we are wandering in the land of dissimilitude, meaning in unlikeness to God and his desires. And not only that, we are in the grip of the lust to dominate. And if you don't believe that, just watch your news feed for 5 minutes. We cannot shake our sins because of the perverseness of our will. So if you just assert self, be yourself, be brave, whatever, and you haven't dealt with the underlying cause of your fallenness and sinfulness, it will only get worse. Kind of like the time when a truck driver stopped at a roadside diner on Christmas Eve day for lunch. He ordered a cheeseburger, a cup of coffee, and a slice of apple pie. As he was about to eat, 3 bikers walked in. One grabbed the trucker's cheeseburger and took a huge bite of it. The second one drank the trucker's coffee. The third one wolfed down his apple pie. The truck driver didn't say a word as he paid the waitress and he left. As the waitress walked up, one of the motorcyclists growled, "He ain't much of a man, is he?" "Well, he's not much of a driver either," the waitress replied. "He just backed his 18-wheeler over 3 motorcycles." So, Merry Christmas. This is part of the point, right? When I think about the Christmas season, it's filled with joy and so much sorrow for so many of us. I think this is where the modern language of family dysfunction and addiction can be helpful to understanding the fact that we need a Savior. Now, I've observed this over the last 30 plus years of ministry, is that human beings are the undisputed creative masters of addiction. I just want to go there today. Right? And if you're just thinking of the usual suspects, drugs, alcohol, gambling, and pornography, you're probably missing the point. Do you know the newest addition to rehab treatment centers is? It's actually video games. Not just drugs and alcohol and all this. It's video games. Big surprise? Probably not, right? Not only do we spiritually need a savior, we need a savior emotionally, psychologically, physically. So we begin Advent with that hymn, O come, Emmanuel. What we're saying is we need a savior to rescue and redeem us in every way imaginable. Again, I mentioned this in adult ed. Irony of all ironies, could it actually be that instead of receiving Emmanuel, God with us, that's the whole point of Christmas, that we have become addicted to and fallen into the idolatry of the whole Christmas season, right? You ever seen the slogan? I think it's helpful, it might be a little cheesy, but you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. But you can celebrate the season without Jesus. I mentioned this in adult ed. They do in Japan. Oh, they got Christmas gifts, and they got Santa, and they got all this stuff. They ain't got no Jesus. They don't care about Jesus. And they make a lot of money. Oh, is that how it works? Again, the whole point of the Advent Christmas season is that God sent his only begotten Son to rescue us and redeem us from the law of sin and death. But instead, so many begin the season, again, ironically, with Black Friday. Isn't that ironic? Let's celebrate Black Friday. Let's not. I'm not saying it's bad. Some people love that. I'm not really into it. But start with Black Friday, then proceed to indulge in all of the seven deadly sins, which are really addictions, envy, greed, anger, gluttony, relational despair, all while we shop till we drop. You know, that's actually kind of a godless thing, shop till you drop. It's like, maybe you want to take a break. Maybe you want a little Sabbath rest, right? Because like I've said before, if your Christmas sucks, you're doing it wrong. Bottom line, kind of like the time. A few years ago when a man actually decided to buy his mother-in-law a cemetery plot as a Christmas gift. But he didn't buy her a Christmas gift the following year. When upset, she asked him why, and he replied, because you still haven't used the gift that I bought you last year. And that's how the fight at Christmas dinner began. Huh. We can be literally addicted to anything. Right? I'm a word nerd. Addiction comes from this Latin idea. Actually, this is really interesting. To be addicted is to be voiceless. To be voiceless. To be out of control. To be unable to help oneself because of our tainted wills. We lose our authentic voices, so to speak. We no longer hear or even know how to hear our own voices. And oftentimes, family members and other loved ones grieve because they can no longer hear our voices either, right? And then sometimes, an intervention is required, right? This is why I'm a big fan of 12-step groups. And I'm really happy that Mosaic now has an AA meeting on Sunday night, and we have two NA meetings, Narcotics Anonymous, Tuesday and Thursday nights. Now, currently, we are the only church from Missoula to Salmon, Idaho that has Narcotics Anonymous. That part makes me sad. There may be all kinds of reasons for that. There may be any number of churches out there that don't want to sponsor recovery ministries because of fear or perceived stigma in some sense. Now, let me tell you right now, if the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not an invitation to life and freedom, if it's not rescue and redemption, we have something else. We have a false gospel, right? God the Father did not send his only begotten Son so that we could learn manners and be respectable in the world's eyes. He sent his Son Jesus to rescue and redeem us from a deep pit that we dug and that we could not get ourselves out of. Now, here's the thing. People in recovery implicitly and intuitively know this. The problem, then, is with the professional and respectable Christians. You know some of these people? You know, Jesus has a word for them. Do you know what he calls them? Pharisees, right? Did you know the word Pharisee comes from an old Hebrew word meaning pure ones? The pure ones. Ah, the pure ones that somehow are sort of spiritually levitating above the rest of us. While Jesus said this, truly I tell you, Pharisees, the tax collectors and prostitutes will enter the kingdom of God before you guys do. You know why? Because tax collectors and prostitutes and the other garden variety of sinners out there know this one thing, that we need a savior. Right? These are the ones who are precious in God's sight. They know what the Advent hymn really means. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom us. Ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appears. Because if the Christian life isn't a life of recovery, whatever that looks like for you, I don't have a clue what it is. Now, some people, maybe stepping on toes, some people actually thought and said that they thought Mosaic Church became a real church when we got these nice comfy chairs. Amen. Oh, so nice. Just like Christmas. It's all about my comfort, right? I say no. You know, when I thought the church first became a real church, when we got our first recovery meeting. Now we're on mission. I love that. Oh, that's kind of a downer. No, it's not. This is good news, right? When we became serious about the three tasks of the church, and we've talked about this, which are and will always remain, first of all, worship, right? Secondly, evangelism. The third, serving the poor and needy. That's a real church. That is a real church, bottom line. If you don't have those things or all of those things, you got a problem, and you might need rehab, spiritual rehab. If a church is not a part of all of these, it's time for recovery for that church, right? It's not just the usual suspects. Human beings, we can be addicted to the dumbest stuff. It's just amazing. The problem is God gives us good things. He gives us good gifts. And the problem is we take the good things and we lean hard on them. We try and make them into something that they aren't, and then they fall apart on us and we wonder why. That's the substance, the heart of that issue, that problem, right? It is a known fact that the chances of people being successful in their sobriety and recovery becomes exponentially higher if they are a part of a church, a real church. This is data. Anybody doing those kinds of ministries know this, right? So the question then for you is, what do you need Jesus to rescue and redeem in your life today? Because he is able. Do you believe that? That's the hope of Advent. He is able to do this and more. Advent is a graphic reminder of the fact that we need a savior. We don't need a philosophy. We don't need a guru on top of the mountain. We certainly don't need another self-help book, and please, a ridiculous prophecy book. You know, remember, I think Dwight mentioned it, 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1988. I think you mentioned that, sir, in men's prayer. I'm just laughing. And then they turned around, 89 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1989. Well, Probably not. No, not, right? Okay. You know, back in the late 1980s, since we're talking about the 80s, I remember standing on top of the Rensen. This is the tallest building in the city of Detroit, the area that I'm from. The Renaissance Center, I find this ironic, the name, Renaissance, meaning rebirth, right? The idea was new buildings and other stuff to help save the city from urban dysfunction and decay. Needless to say, there was no Renaissance recovering for Detroit at that moment. I was at the top of this building, and you get a great view of the city of Detroit, of Motown, and I could not shake this spiritual feeling that what the city of Detroit needed was not just another big building, not another urban renewal plan, but it needed a savior. It needed a savior. Now, thankfully, the Rensen is now the world headquarters of General Motors. There's a lot of improvements in the city that have happened, and this is great. But I was reminded in all of this of Detroit's most famous and beloved sculpture called the Spirit of Detroit. There it is. This is a famous sculpture. All Metro Detroiters know this. It depicts the figure seated, right, with a flaming sphere, there it is, representing God and God's and spiritual truth. On the other hand, there's like a little family in the other hand, symbolizing human relationships and community. And behind it, if you can see it, is a scripture verse from 2 Corinthians 3:17, and it says this: "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom," right? Do you want freedom and life this Advent season? Of course you do. Then don't look to another self-help book, another purchase, another bottle of wine. Why? Because we need a Savior. And that's why we sing in hope, "O come, O come, Emmanuel," and ransom captive Israel that mourns, that weeps in lowly exile here, until when? The Son of God appears. And then it finishes with, "Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel." That is the hope of Advent this season. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. We need a Savior. We don't need a new idea, another self-help book, another piece of junk that we don't need from someone we don't like anyway. We need a Savior. And Jesus, we're just reminded of that. So Jesus, would you be born anew in our hearts? Would you speak to the needs that are there, whatever those might look like for each and every one of us? We just thank you for this festive time of season, the beauty of it. And we just pray that each one of us would focus on Jesus as the reason for this season. Thank you that you are our Savior. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name, saying, amen.